भगवते वासुदेवाय इदं हि योगेश्वर योग नैपुणं हिरण्यगर्भो भगवान् चकादयत् यरन्तकाले त्वयि निर्गुणे मनो भक्त्या दधितोचित दुष्कले वरः O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment, simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Madhvacharya says, Yasya samyag bhagavati jnanam bhakti sthatai vacha nischintas tasya moksha syat sarva papo krito pitu. For one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed, even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sutaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhur eva samantavya samyag babishito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities, and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way 24 hours a day, he is already liberated. Swarupena vyavashtita. Whereas materialists are always absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return back home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, entitled The Island of Jambudvip, Text 13. This prayer, being offered to the Supreme Lord, is most vital for the comprehension of all aspiring devotees. The Lord is Yogeshwar. He is the master of all mysticism. And he is the source of everything. whatever exists within all material and spiritual worlds is simply existing by the sweet will of the Lord. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Everything is emanating by the Lord. But what is important to understand is it all manifests by the sweet will of the Lord. Whatever the Lord desires, there is no impediment, there is no obstacle. That is the difference between Krishna and his pardon parcels. Especially within this material world, we may have desires, but there are always so many obstacles that we must undergo to somehow or other fulfill that desire. But for Krishna, there is no obstacle, because his will is supreme. He is Sarveshwareshwara, the controller of all controllers. When Krishna wants to manifest the entire cosmic manifestation simply by an exhalation in a state of yoga nidra, where he's half sleeping, all the universes of the whole cosmos are manifested. What can we do when we are sleeping? That is Krishna. His sweet will is the ultimate source of everything that exists. Therefore, he is Yogeshwara. He is the supreme master of all mystics. Within the mystic yogic process, people try to gain supernatural powers. But Srila Prabhupada explained that a devotee is not at all concerned with such supernatural powers. It may take many births and deaths to achieve. Meditation, austerities, piety. But for a devotee, just hearing about Krishna's supreme mystic powers is our satisfaction. Much chitta mad gata prana bodhya parant. That devotees find great satisfaction just absorbing themselves in Krishna. Their greatest happiness is discussing Krishna with each other. When Krishna was only a boy of 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan hill and balanced it on the tip of the little finger of his left hand. Now today, Govardhan hill is 21 kilometers around. But at the time of Krishna, it was far larger in size. Effortlessly, without any help of any technological instruments to balance it, he just lifted it. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami describes he lifted it like a little child would playfully lift a mushroom. So effortlessly. And he balanced it for 7 days and 7 nights. And Indra, who is from the residential neighborhood of Swargaloka, has tremendous mystic powers. And with his mystic powers, he was blasting winds. Winds that were far more severe than any hurricane or cyclone that this world has seen in modern days. And he blew it with torrential rains for 7 days and seven nights. With all his powers, leashing out thunderbolts. And yet, he could not even separate one leaf from one tree, and there were millions of trees on Govardhan Hill. He could not even cause a single insignificant blade of grass to bend. Why? Because the potency of the tip of Krishna's little finger was energizing the entire Govardhan Hill, empowering that hill with such potency that it was transcendental and aloof to all the material efforts of Indra. This is only an insignificant demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable potencies. Therefore, a devotee understands that there is no other shelter than taking than the lotus feet of the Lord. We do not want to become God. We do not want to be great. We want to be grateful. In this material world, people are very much attached to becoming great. And the yogis, they want to be very great. And the jnanis, they want to be God. They want to be the greatest. But a devotee has no interest. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja kadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite kitvai. Lord Chaitanya does not want to be great. He doesn't want wealth that make you great, or fame and power, reputation, the opposite sex. He doesn't even want liberation. He only wants unconditional service. A devotee wants to serve the Supreme Great, because in serving Krishna, Krishna, by his own mercy, reciprocates with his love. He fills our heart and awakens within us his love. What is love of God? It's not really our love, because Krishna is the source of everything that exists. And his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, is the source of all love. Whatever love exists anywhere is just part and parcels of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. That's all. So we cannot even claim that we can love God. All we could do is try to please God in such a way that within our little jivatma, Krishna awakens, which is part of Krishna. Krishna awakens the love that he has put within our heart. Therefore, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yobididati kaman. That there is one supreme eternal, Bhagavan, Krishna. And there are innumerable eternal living entities. But we are always, in every way, subordinate to Krishna. No one can ever have any position in any field except being subordinate to Krishna. Therefore, a devotee cannot even be proud of his or her own love for God in the perfect state. Because even that love which is the source of all transcendental ecstasy, is simply a gift of Krishna. We may say it is our constitutional position, but who gave us that constitutional position? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Krishna tells in Gita that the bewildered spirit soul thinks him or herself to be the doer of activities. But actually they're carried out by nature. That's on a material level. We are all simply being controlled by the three modes of material nature. Krishna says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the strength of the strong. Whatever we have is Krishna. Whatever wealth we have is Krishna's wealth. But on the pure spiritual platform, we're all part of Krishna. Whatever we have is only because of Krishna. Krishna has given us our eternal identity. Krishna has given us the ecstasy of love of God. Krishna gives us all these things. But he also gives us free will. We have no free will without Krishna. He is Swarat, Abhigya Swarat. He is all-knowing and he has complete independence. So he has given us some power, some little power to know him. And he has given us free will. And really, the path of bhakti is so simple. It's applying the free will that God has given us to want to serve him and please him in every action, every word, and every thought. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in purport, if we are simply sincere to make the effort to absorb ourselves in Krishna, Krishna gives us all help. Api chet sutaracharo. Madhvacharya is describing, even if a person has been addicted, the word that Prabhupada uses in this translation is addicted to sinful habits. We know in this world the power of habits. Habits can control people's minds, senses, and very lives. People can act in such ways that they degrade the very integrity of their existence simply due to conditioned habits. Gita says there are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. And every sane person should give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Now, materialistic people, they don't always understand, according to the modes of nature they are being controlled by, what is degradation? In fact, for people who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the goal of life is degradation. They're aspiring and working hard to become more and more degraded. But due to that type of situation, we become habituated. Nobody is born with a taste for alcohol. It tastes miserable the first time anyone tries to drink it. But because we're willing to go through the suffering of tasting it, just to follow the masses of human society and experience some intoxication, you become addicted to it. Isn't it amazing? Something that tastes so miserable, just to get intoxicated. But then after some time, as the habit grows, you like the taste. You crave for the taste that brings you intoxication. The process of sadhana bhakti is similar in that way. We want to become intoxicated with spiritual love. But sadhana bhakti sometimes tastes bitter like alcohol to us. Yes, if you have jaundice, even sugarcane juice is bitter. To chant 16 rounds. For some of us, it's a bitter medicine. 4 rounds done and 12 to go. But I want to get this intoxication of love of God, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to drink it. And following these regulative principles and speaking positive glorification of Vaishnavas, it's like drinking poison. We are habituated to prajalpa, to criticizing, to gossiping, to thinking about all these other egoistic things. So yes, if we want to taste the intoxication of love of God, we have to drink the bitter medicine of Vaidhi Bhakti. But as you become spiritually reconditioned, then the taste becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. For an alcoholic, there is nothing in the 14 worlds that's sweeter than some very horrible, harsh alcoholic drink. They crave for it. They long for it. They can't live without it. Yes. So now the holy name, it's bitter medicine. But we're going to do it. And once we get habituated to doing it in a proper way, then Rupa Goswami, he describes what he is experiencing when he chants the holy name. When he chants Krishna's name, the two syllables Krishna dances on his tongue, and he desires many, many, many tongues. And when that name enters into his ears, he desires millions and millions of ears to drink the nectar of Harinam. When the name enters into the courtyard of his heart, his senses become inert. He becomes totally absorbed in Krishna. That is the purpose of life, to be absorbed in Krishna. A devotee simply is not concerned with performing his or her duties. We perform our duties, but bhakti is about being absorbed in Krishna in whatever we do. Srila Prabhupada, what an example he was. How absorbed he was in everything he did. Last Sunday, Yamuna Devi was describing how even when Srila Prabhupada would drink a mouthful of water, he was absorbed in tasting Krishna. Prabhupada often quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste in water. And therefore, when we saw Prabhupada drinking water, it wasn't like anybody else in the creation drinking water. He was relishing Krishna in the water. Absorbed 24 hours a day in everything he was doing, simply in reciprocating with Krishna's love. There's a beautiful purport where Srila Prabhupada explains that whatever one is most absorbed in during one's life, that will appear as the last thought at the time of death. It's not just a matter of organizing that you think of Krishna at the time of death. Even if a million devotees are around you chanting, that may help. But it may not be what's necessary. Whatever you are absorbed in most during your life will appear before your heart, before your soul, at the time of death. And we do not know when death may come. So there's really only one purpose of life, with every moment that we have, to strive, even to struggle, to keep ourselves absorbed in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was not very impressed by meditation teachers who taught half hour morning, half hour evening, you chant a seed mantra, a bija mantra. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. We chant our 16 rounds minimum each day. Yesterday, Radha Gopinath Prabhu was describing that real devotion begins on your 17th round, because it's beyond your duty. I agree, but I also partially disagree with you, with all due respect. Because real devotion is in every syllable you chant, even of your first round, if you're offering it for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not that we somehow get through our 16 rounds and then we begin our devotion at the 17th. What is the difference between devotional chanting and mechanical chanting is our absorption. A machine cannot be absorbed. A machine just does what it's supposed to do. You push the button and it just does it, yes? Computers, they can do so many things, but they can't be absorbed because they have no consciousness to do so. So if we're just doing it like a computer, if we're speaking like a computer, or chanting like a computer, or doing service even to the deities, just getting it done, because there's a connection to Krishna, it's good, it's healthy. But our bhakti is seen by Krishna. Initially, that yes, we are performing our duty. That's the minimal. But the absorption of our real devotion is how much we're really putting our heart and soul in everything we do. Yamuna Devi, we see when she offers a flower to Prabhupada or to the deities, she's not just doing it as a ritual. She's offering the love of her heart in the form of that flower. Such a simple thing. When we sing, whether we have good voices or miserable voices by material standards, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the time of his departure from the world, one of the best, most melodious singers was chanting, and he asked someone else to chant, who really didn't have a very famous voice. But he was absorbed. He was absorbed in love for his guru. That's all that matters. The story of Hanumanji. He was lifting rocks. And in Rameshwaram, in their descriptions, they explain it was a little squirrel. And the squirrel jumped in the Indian Ocean and then jumped out. And he was all wet. And he rolled in the sand. And then he jumped on a rock and rolled around on the rock after he dried off. And all the sand on his body just fell on the rock that Hanuman already put there. So how is that helping to build the bridge? But to Ramchandra, he was doing as much service as Hanumanji. Because he was absorbed. He was totally absorbed with his body, mind, words, and life for the singular purpose of pleasing Sri Ram. That is bhakti. We must perform our duties. But beyond performing our duties, there must be quality. Krishna consciousness is about quality. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was asked, why aren't millions and millions of people joining our movement? He said, if you have a very rare jewel, there are very few people that are willing to pay the price. Prabhupada said, better one full moon than a whole sky full of millions of stars. Prabhupada was concerned with making full moons. Prabhupada once said that when he was coming on Jaladuta, he was thinking, if I can make one person a pure devotee, then my mission is successful. Then the parampara will carry on. Of course, he wanted quantity, but not compromising quality. Better one full moon than millions of stars, but better millions of full moons than one full moon. But the object is the full moon, the jewel. So Krishna consciousness is about the quality of our consciousness. How we are surrendering. Surrender means, your will, my Lord, is the purpose of my life. In the Christian faith, I was speaking to one Christian yesterday, and he told me, in the way he was taught, the real surrender of compassion of Lord Jesus was at Gethsemane, when he knew the next day they were going to come for him. And he didn't run away. He knew they were going to crucify him. He knew they were going to torture and humiliate him. But he didn't run away. He didn't hide. He prayed to the Lord, let your will be done, not mine. My Lord, if you desire, please take this cup away from me of what he would have to drink from. But let your will be done, not mine. That is surrender. Arjuna did not want to fight. And the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Sarvadharman Parityajya. Mame kam sharanam braja, with the conclusion of this verse. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. Abandon all varieties of dharma. Arjuna did the will of Krishna. Even during the battle, when he had to shoot his arrows through the body of Bhishma, after Krishna, there was no one on the planet that Arjuna loved more than Bhishma. He was his grandfather. He was his best friend. Somehow or other, by inconceivable reasons, he was on the other side as a service to Krishna. And there was no warrior in the entire battlefield that had the power to penetrate Bhishma's body with arrows except Arjuna. So Bhishma told Arjuna the night before, you have to pierce my body with arrows from my neck to my toes. Hare Krishna. And Arjuna was shooting. And Bhishma, because of his love, he was shooting very gentle. And Bhishma ordered him, harder.
shoot with all your strength. Krishna told Arjuna, do it.
Arjuna was weeping. He was crying. He was crying as he was shooting the arrows into Bhishma. Now try to feel what he was going through. Could you do that to your own husband or wife or loving relative?
Well, these days, husbands and wives.
Some people wish they would get the sanction to do it. But someone you actually love and honor, it's painful. Arjuna's surrender. It's inconceivable. And in Vrindavan, the surrender of the devotees is in the culmination of the highest state. The gopis, they're willing to go to hell for eternity just to give Krishna relief from a headache for even 1 second. Now this may sound extreme, but extreme examples are there just to show us the glory of great souls. Their absorption is so deep in a spirit of servitude for the pleasure of the Lord. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased to see you. The path of bhakti is not simply to be absorbed in God. It is to be absorbed in service to God. Bhakti doesn't mean simply devotion. Srila Prabhupada emphasized it means devotional service. When we're hearing Krishna's pastimes, when we're chanting Krishna's names, when we're meditating on Krishna's beautiful qualities, it's always in a spirit of service. How to please Krishna. Our constitutional position is not to enjoy Krishna. It is to be enjoyed by Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized so strongly spending our day absorbed in service. And the quality of our consciousness that we want to cultivate is absorption in the spirit of pleasing Krishna. When Yamuna Prabhu was speaking about cooking last week, whatever she was saying applies to every type of devotional service. She was taking, just like if you take a drop of water from the ocean and analyze it, you can understand the quality of the whole ocean. Similarly, by taking one service as cooking and analyzing the qualities that pleases Krishna in that service, she was explaining the whole ocean of devotional service. Cleanliness. Purity. What was the other? Quality. Just see, that's what the class is about. And I forgot. Cleanliness, quality, and purity. We follow the four regulative principles so that we develop a type of cleanliness within our heart. To the degree we're addicted to sinful activities, our heart is unclean. And factually, when we chant the holy name, Cheto Darapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, the chanting of the holy name is meant to clean the heart. If we're not sincerely chanting the holy names according to the direction of the great souls, that whatever service we render will be unclean. We're chanting to clean our heart, and then with whatever cleanliness we have within our heart, we want to serve. And with whatever service attitude we develop throughout the day, we want to utilize that service attitude to chant the holy names with a deeper quality. Krishna does not have to manifest himself to you in his name. It's not mechanical. You can chant 64 rounds for 64 births and not taste Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with our sincerity. He reciprocates with our service attitude. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he did not want us to prematurely just be meditating on the leelas of Braj, the intimate leelas. He wanted us to read Krishna book, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to discuss the pastimes of Krishna. But in order to actually go beyond the mental platform, in order to actually access what we're talking about, we need Radha Gopinath's causeless mercy. They reveal the holy Dham when they're pleased with us. They reveal the pastimes when they're pleased with us. To actually experience even tears that fall from the eyes can come from the mental platform. People could talk about Krishna's love for Radharani and cry, and it could be totally on the mental platform. What brings it to the spiritual platform is Radha and Krishna's grace. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you cannot force your way into Krishna's pastimes. Not possible. You have to take the lowliest position, the humblest position. And from that platform, Prabhupada said, you should feel you're in the lowliest position, but you shouldn't be in the lowliest position. Trinadapi sunichena tador ibasi hishmana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be like the grass on the ground, so humble, tolerant like tree, offering all respect to others and expecting none in return. In this spirit only will Krishna really be pleased by your chanting of the holy name. And what happens when he is pleased? He gives you the higher taste. What is the higher taste? He reveals himself. He reveals his leelas. He reveals his sweetness. He reveals his pastimes. And as Krishna reveals, we become addicted. Kirtaniya sadahari. Then we're chanting the holy name spontaneously, always. So the service attitude is all important. Srila Prabhupada explained, better to be a sincere sweeper of the street than a charlatan meditator. And that also can... And sahajya is like a charlatan meditator on Krishna's leela. Better to just do your seva, to please your guru. And read about Krishna's pastimes. Read about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Chant your rounds attentively. And be humble and sincere. Krishna will reveal everything. So before that moment of death, we must be absorbed. More than anything else in life, absorbed in the spirit of pleasing Krishna. By pleasing Guru and pleasing the Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained the essence of all religion is attachment to the holy names, service to the Vaishnavas, and jivadoy, compassion to the fallen souls. That's all there is. That is what Prabhupada has taught us. There is nothing he put more emphasis on than chanting the holy names. It cleans the heart. It gives quality to whatever we do. And it makes us pure. But he taught us the process in which we could chant. We must dedicate ourselves to a life of servitude. Otherwise, the holy name will remain an austerity for us. The sweetness of the name is revealed by Krishna according to how we want to please him in our life. So absorption is what we are striving for. To the degree we are absorbed in anything we do for Krishna, to that degree we are getting purified in the process. During the initiation ceremonies, Prabhupada had us chant Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suchi. Whether we are purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all various situations in life, one who remembers the beautiful, lotus-eyed, supreme personality of Godhead becomes purified within and without. The culmination of all the rules, regulations, and philosophical presentations of all the scriptures of the world is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, to be absorbed in Krishna. So in whatever we do, we want to be absorbed. Whether we're offering a flower, whether we're sweeping the floor, whether we're cutting a potato, whether we're preaching, chanting the holy names, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. A very essential austerity of the mind should be that anything we're doing, we're really consciously trying to absorb ourselves in that activity. And the absorption is to perform that activity in such a way that Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas will be pleased by our efforts. And that means we want to do everything we can first class. If you're doing for Krishna, it must be the best you can do. If you have one paisa, you offer it with love. But if you have 100 crores of rupees and you offer one paisa, what is that? Quality means I'm giving the best of what I have, the best of who I am. I'm doing the best I can do for Krishna. That is devotion. Not half-hour morning, half-hour evening, but at all times to be absorbed. And if we try to live in this spirit, it is Krishna's promise. Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nandamaskuru mam evaishyashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshile. Always think of me. That means hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna attentively. Always think of me. In whatever we do, we're trying to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. This means always in a service attitude, always in a humble state of mind, always crying out for Krishna's mercy. If you do this, Krishna says, you will come to me without fail, because this is my promise. Krishna's promise is our only qualification. Krishna and his devotees' capacity and willingness to forgive us for all the nefarious activities we have done is our only qualification. Madhvacharya is saying, even if you have previously been addicted to sinful habits, you'll be forgiven if you're simply sincere. That is Krishna's power. The power of God to forgive is the greatest benediction in all the creation. In the spiritual world, there's nothing to forgive. But this material world is all about forgiveness. And the power of a devotee to forgive is Krishna's forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada, most often when he speaks about tolerance, he relates it to forgiveness. Nityananda Prabhu forgave Jagai and Madhai. That was their only qualification. Otherwise, the Sudarsan Chakra was about to sever their heads. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was more angry than anybody had ever seen him, ready to kill them. But Nityananda Prabhu begged and pleaded with the Lord, please forgive them. Give them bhakti. Haridas Thakur, being beaten in 22 marketplaces by people who hated him. Please understand, these executioners were not just doing their duty. They were absorbed. There was quality in what they were doing. They despised Haridas Thakur. They hated him to the core. He was one of theirs, of their religion, who betrayed their religion to follow another. If such a person's influence is spread in this world, then it's the downfall of all sanctity. He must be killed. They were putting their hearts and souls into beating him. They were torturing him. They hated him. They wanted him to suffer and die from the core of their hearts. Hare Krishna. None of us have ever met a person that hates us the way they hated Haridas Thakur. And yet, Haridas was praying to Krishna, give them entrance into Vaikuntha. Forgive them. If I have done any service that has pleased you in my life, let all that credit go to forgiving these men. That forgiveness is what made Haridas Thakur so dear to Lord Chaitanya. That is tolerance. That is humility. So Prabhupada is quoting, even if a person is presently engaging in most abominable actions, he said, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Not only is a person considered saintly if he's engaged in devotional service, but due to some past bad habits, is engaging in some abominable activity, but the person who sees with that vision is considered saintly by Krishna. If you see someone who's engaged in devotional service, who due to the inertia of past bad habits is somehow or other engaging in some abominable activity, but if you still see that person, if you see that seed of saintliness in that person, even though you may disapprove of the abominable activity, you may even withdraw from being too close to that person due to that abominable activity, but still you see that in the heart of that person is a saint. He's engaged in devotional service. If you have that vision, Krishna will see you as saintly. These are the qualities that are being revealed in this beautiful verse. And we want to absorb ourselves accordingly. And then in life and in death, there's really no difference. Prabhupada gave that example of the prophet who came to that village. And for the Vaishnava, he said, whether you live or die, it makes no difference. Because you're absorbed in Krishna in your life, therefore you'll go back to Godhead and be absorbed of Krishna forevermore. Vaishnava Association is simply to help each other to be absorbed in Krishna. When I was with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj this last summer in Gita Nagari, his body was in an inconceivable condition of deterioration. He was emaciated. Large tumors protruding from his skin. The pain had gone into his bones, where even painkillers could hardly really remove it. And yet every day we would simply talk about Vrindavan and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And we were absorbed. He was so absorbed. I'll never forget one of the most beautiful experiences I had in my life. He was really in pain that day. He couldn't even sit up. He was just laying down. And I was sitting next to his bed, just speaking about Krishna. And he was speaking about Krishna. Suddenly he became ecstatic, full of energy. And he said, Maharaj, we made it. We're there. We did it. I asked, you know, where are we? He said, we made it. We've done it. And then he revealed his heart. He said, we are together, absorbed in discussing Krishna. He said, this is the perfection of life. He said, we are not reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are living Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then tears poured from his eyes in such deep gratitude. And he said, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he has brought us into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is Chaitanya Charitamrita? It is simply the story of devotees absorbed in loving affection with one another, sharing the topics of Krishna. And then, in a very humble and broken voice, he said, I would not trade the position I'm in today
for any other situation in the entire world. This is the greatest benediction.
That is absorption. We want to follow in the footsteps of those who are really absorbed in Krishna. So absorbed that they're grateful.
Even on the verge of death,
in a most painful condition, but they're grateful just to hear Krishna's names and glories. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki jai. Go Premanandi. Is there any questions? And here, because there is no questions. And Yamuna Prabhu, will you speak with Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati this afternoon? Yamuna Prabhu and Dinatharani Devi Prabhu have been very ill. I'm not going to go into the details, but they have been very ill, and I feel so bad they've come to our temple and gotten sick. I think you must be absorbing just a little trace of my karmas just out of your mercy. But Yamuna Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Malati Prabhu, for our Sunday festival, will bless us with their sublime absorption in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. So everyone, please come, bring your friends, family, and anyone else you know, because it will be a great benediction. Hearing Srila Prabhupada's stories from those who so deeply love him and serve him is a priceless gift. And to receive it within our heart is the greatest fortune. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And something else is happening today. This afternoon, after the Sunday program, Brinda Devi in her Dairam form will appear in Vrindavan Forest. Huh? You want to ask a question? It's too late.
It's not important, Maharaj.
It's not important. Everything you do is important. But Maharaj, you already know the answer anyway. Prabhupada said, all our questions will be answered if we, without offense, chant the holy name.